know, the rumors of a high price and all that going into the season. Yeah, it's holding true.
More gill netters in the commercial fleet this year than in the past decade. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more after this. The Northern Panhandle's employment and economic activity are following their usual seasonal upswings, with the biggest lurch happening from April to May. Last month, Skagway, a town that sometimes has the highest winter unemployment in the state, bounced to the third lowest in unemployment, a predictable seasonal change for the tourism-based economy. Skagway's unemployment dropped from 15.9% in April to 4.4% in May. That's 3 points lower than the statewide jobless rate for last month, but nearly twice last May's rate of 2.3% unemployment in Skagway. Those numbers reflect the more than 200 new neighbors who moved into the labor force from April to May. Specifically, there were 34 unemployed workers in Skagway in May, compared with 89 the month before. Last May, there were half that many unemployed workers in Skagway. Haines' jobless rate also fell in May to 7% from 9.5% in April. That number's about average for the state and represents almost 200 more workers entering the Haines workforce over that month, just about consistent with last year's number of workers and unemployed residents. Juneau unemployment is almost as low as Skagway's, with 4.9% in May. Southeast's jobless rate overall was 6.5% in May, down from 7.4% in April. The Aleutians East Borough in southwest Alaska, where some groundfish seasons ended, holds the highest unemployment in the state at 21%. Only Bristol Bay and the North Slope showed May unemployment lower than Skagway's, as the area's employment and economic activity followed their seasonal upswings. Workers in Bristol Bay have caused the area to show the lowest unemployment in the state, where workers are preparing to harvest and process fish for one of the world's largest salmon fisheries. Alaska's jobless numbers, despite rising slightly from April to May, remain better than average compared to the U.S. 9.1% without jobs in April and to many other states. 34 states had higher unemployment rates than Alaska, and state economists say our state's relatively healthy job market likely means more new job seekers, putting some pressure on the state's jobless rate. Both state and national rates are lower than year-ago levels. You can find the latest unemployment data at the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development website at labor.alaska.gov. Gillnetters are back on the water and in bigger numbers than there's been in 10 years.
Oh, gosh. There was approximately 90 boats fishing this week.
Randy Bachman is a fisheries biologist at the Haines Fish and Game Office. He works in the Division of Commercial Fisheries and says it was a surprising amount of permit-holding gillnetters on the water for the first opening of the Southeast Alaska gillnet fishery, which happened Sunday through Tuesday.
Yeah, and that was just over the 10-year average.
That average is only 75 boats, with 74 fishing this time last year. There hasn't been this many gillnetters on the water during the first opening in a decade, when in 2001 there were 121 boats. But there hasn't been such encouraging market prices for commercial salmon either.
Market's high. There's good prices above what they have been. You know, the rumors of a high price and all that going into the season. Yeah, it's holding true.
Out of the 90 boats recorded, Bachman estimates a little more than a third are fishing out of Haines, with most of the others coming from all over Alaska and beyond.
Just about every community in Southeast and some permit holders are from, you know, out of state too.
Right now, most local commercial fishermen are targeting chum salmon for sale to any of the five or so buyers in the district. Management restrictions common to the start of the season, particularly on the mesh size of nets, are encouraging the same, to somewhat spare the sockeye population early in the season.
Kind of a safety net. It's a strategy we use when we think our sockeye returns are going to be, you know, average or below average.
And although exact numbers aren't in yet, the first opener gave the department an idea for how the season is starting out.
Kind of looked like catches were, maybe a bit average on chum salmon and, well, below average on pretty much everything else. But it's the first opening and pretty surprising to see that, you know, a pretty decent and a bit above average catch of chum salmon from predominantly the lower end of the district.
Geographical Section 15C, which includes the waters surrounding Haines and Skagway, will reopen Sunday at noon for commercial driftnet gill netting. Announcements defining the opening come out Thursday, but Bachman thinks restrictions will remain fairly conservative on sockeye, a position management biologists have held for years for the Chilkoot and Chilkat salmon runs.
Basically, we kind of went in, you know, we set in the management plan based on our expectations for our runs this year that the management will be pretty similar to how things went down last year. You know, we're going to be conservative on sockeye, you know, from the get-go until we can project that we're going to be making our minimum points of our escapement in our, you know, two big systems. And while monitoring the escapement of wild pink and summer chum in the lower Lynn Canal streams.
For more information on the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's management of the local commercial fisheries, go to their website at adfg.alaska.gov or to their office located at the Y intersection of the Haines Highway as you're coming in or leaving town. Five Haines students just got back from the nation's capital, where they represented the state in a competition that started with about 2 million students. National History Day competitors Karina Hill, Alexandria Chapin, Autumn Gross, Zayla Asquith-Hines, and Janae Larson are all 7th and 8th graders at Haines School, which is where the whole trip began early in the school year. Janae explains.
Ms. Andreessen has us do, as the 7th and 8th graders do a project every year.
The kids who ended up at the National History Day competition on the East Coast last week got there by placing top in their categories in their town and state. 27 students went to nationals from Alaska, all of them from Anchorage, Chivac, Fairbanks, and Haines.
There was 2,718 kids there, and plus all their parents and relatives, and so it was crazy. It was a good experience.
Each fall, more than 2 million students across the U.S. do the same thing Janae and her classmates did, a lot of research from original sources on a complicated issue, and present their work by creating a museum-type exhibit, video documentary, original performance, research paper, or website. This year's theme, debate and diplomacy in history, successes, failures, and consequences.
Like, I did the debate over logging in the Tongass National Forest.
So she and her partner started at the school library, then moved on to the public library, but were forced to modernize their search for information. Turns out, their History Day project topic is still becoming history.
We looked on the internet a lot. That's where we found most of our stuff. Because we couldn't really find anything in the books because the debate is still going on today, so they don't really write much in a book about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like not history, but it's still happening.
Besides learning how to conduct proper research and present information, Janae and her partner Karina happened to learn a lot about the nearby Tongass National Forest.
Well, I actually didn't even know that much about it to begin with. I didn't know it was the second largest rainforest in the world, and like 97% of trees are destined to grow back, but because the more and more that they cut down, the less and less that will start to grow back, and so that's what's worrying people. My partner, Karina, she knew more about it, so that's why we chose it, because it'd be a learning process for both of us. And I think it's a very important and big debate, and I learned a lot from it.
History Day organizers say that learning about issues like logging in the Tongass or some of the other heavy topics like the Geneva Convention, the Alaska Pipeline debate, the Cuban Missile Crisis, and the Korean War Armistice Agreement are important topics for an up-and-coming generation to get familiar with.
Well, yeah, I think that it really helped a lot, and it really just opened up my eyes because, like, there's so much debate. Like, going to National History Day and seeing everyone having, like, different topics and stuff, I mean, there's so much debate and arguments out there, and I had no idea about it.
National History Day is a year-round academic program for elementary and secondary school students focused on the teaching and learning of history. The Haines Group was able to make the trip with borough and resident donations and fundraisers. On their trip, they also visited museums and national treasures like the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. The Haines Group didn't bring home any of the big awards from nationals, but Janae points out that they did learn a lot about how to improve their style for next year.
I was proud of the finishing product. I mean, it was good enough just to get there. I think it didn't matter if I won or not. It's already pretty good if we got there in the first place. I'm a 7th grader, so I'll do History Day again next year.
Summer solstice is done with. Its presence was celebrated throughout the Lynn Canal with barbecues, bonfires, and all-night parties. But there's another day, one that no one ever seems to want to talk about, that we might also want to acknowledge. It's the day after solstice, the day when the darkness has reached the far end of the round trip, has pivoted around to face us again, slowly moving closer, growing bigger and bigger in our field of vision with every passing hour. And even though every day following this one is going to be darker than the one before it, don't let that get you down. In the peak of summer, it can be hard to recall those not-so-bad tranquil early evenings in winter. You know, when that time period after supper, the one when all your work is done and you can just sit back and read or play guitar, talk on the phone or watch the tube or whatever, kind of lasts forever. It's so quiet you can hear the air. It's so calm you can tell what cold smells like. And when you ask your friends, how's it going? You actually have time to stay and hear the answer. So don't forget to remember and maybe even appreciate the day after solstice, the day of returning darkness. And don't let it freak you out. We'll still have more sunlight than any of our American counterparts down below until October. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bickman.